The rest of the story. The trouble started when Rachel, 2 years married, was served with divorce papers by her first husband. That's right, Rachel had assumed that her first marriage had been dissolved, and under that assumption, she had married again, but now 2 years later, she's being charged with desertion and adultery. Divorce proceedings were thus initiated, eventually consummated. Rachel and her subsequent spouse quietly remarried to make it official. Nonetheless, the community refused to let them or anyone forget, and the blame fell directly, if unfairly, upon Rachel. And so began a miserably recurring theme throughout their married life, a storm of gossip over the dead issue, eventually subsiding into a breeze, but only to reemerge at its original velocity. And now, it's more than 30 years later, and Rachel's husband has received a promotion. The family must relocate. But the thought of an old scandal being dragged into new circumstances, and the tongue wagging, and the social ostracism which would inevitably follow, is more than Rachel can bear. And moreover, she is, as she always was, a simple country woman, much intimidated by snooty city ways. Once she flew past the pretensions of society on the wings of her slender beauty, but now she is self-consciously obese, an easy target for anyone inclined to hurl anything at all. Rachel would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God, as she put it, than to have to start over. In other words, she would rather be dead. Her few loyal friends watched helplessly as she grew depressed day by day. Then one afternoon they found her at home, crouching in a corner, terror-stricken, hysterical. She had gone into town that morning, she later confided, had overheard a few lines of poisonous conversation about her unpresentable self, including some of the same old tisking about her 2 years of polygamy, albeit unintentional. Rachel's husband, deeply concerned, did what he could to keep her calm. "I will not make you leave our home," he soothed. But no, she insisted. She would never, could never stand in the way of her husband's career. A few days later came the discomfort in Rachel's chest and her left shoulder. Old Doc hurried over. It was only a cold, she told him. Then about 10 o'clock Sunday evening, 3 days before Christmas, she was sitting in her nightdress by the fire, contemplating what lay ahead, and she repeated what she had said earlier, that she would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than have to move away. And once more she was silent, and 20 minutes later she was gone. Now, precisely what Rachel had said before she passed on that December night in 1828, I quoted only part of it. Precisely what she said was, "I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to live in that palace in Washington." For once upon a perennial scandal, there was a simple country girl whose last wish came true. For the hankering of some is hell to another, as it was to Rachel Jackson, the wife of President-elect Andrew Jackson, the only First Lady who never was. Now you know the rest of the story.